Okay. The next program is 4:30 to 5:30, Q&A followed by review of meditation reporting, so that you can develop the proper understanding of the cultivation, the Dhamma, which is the teaching, and the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You can ask any question regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, and real life application of the Dhamma. So this one, the last part, closing puja, not so early, we do it end of the day. Okay, just now before I left for the 3 o'clock, I think there were one Kayanamita who want to report the meditation. Who is that lady? I think that lady is at the back. Yeah? You want to ask some questions just now? Yeah. Pass the mic to her. Then there was another earlier lady. I forgot who. I think the black shirt on. You also wanted to ask some question. Was it you? Not you. There was another lady who approached me. I forgot who was. Yeah. You report first.
Okay, Brother Theo.
Yeah.
This morning, when I did my walking meditation, where I just walked to and fro a few times. After that, I was aware of my body and walking movement.
Okay.
So while turning, after from one end to the other, we were turning.
Yeah.
I could feel that my body was, the turning was jerking, and like that way. See. Yeah, and then I just
how do you do the turning? Can you
just
show
my body when
no. Can you show? Just show how you do it. Just show.
This is a feeling.
I know. You have to show so that I know how you turn. You are using the traditional turning or what?
Just normally I turn normally, but while I was turning, I could feel my body like that. This way.
Okay.
So, and then I just be aware of the movement.
Okay.
But then after sometimes just movement, and then my body also started to vibrate, as I walked.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just like why you feel very cold, the shiver inside and outside.
Okay.
Shivering. I was just be aware of the movement, and then my breath also became very, what to call it, staggered, very fast, up and down. I started to cry. So I just aware of the feeling. I continue.
Have any emotion when the
fear? It could be the emotion. I don't know.
So what emotion is it? What type of emotion is it?
It's just that the tears started to...
Yeah. Are you feeling sad or what?
It's not sad.
Then?
Just the feeling just suddenly came out.
Yeah, what is that feeling? Can you describe it? Describe that feeling.
How should I say?
You cry because of certain reason.
No, it's just that suddenly I felt... It just came out.
It just came out. But there is a feeling that follow.
The feeling, whether
there is joy,
or
there is understanding, or there is sadness, you have to tell me what type of feeling that trigger off. Because based on what you describe, it's not likely to be what the cultivator's way. Because tears can come in many ways, understand not? Mm-hmm. But from the way you describe your walking, you are not doing it until the body and mind is one, until mindfulness is there. Like you say, your breathing is like staggered.
Uh-huh.
It is not a flow.
When
you walk until very mindful, this breath is very soothing. Very soothing. It follows. It's like a flow. Like the breath and the body and the mind is one. And that is the deep.
And then my heart I could feel my heart pounding very, what they call, very fast and loud. But I just carry on, after around 20,
so what is your question? What do you want to
It's just that I want to report the experience that I had.
Then so you got any question?
When I came back, I want to sit where I did the bowing. My body also this way, and then
it's okay. Both, that one is okay. Then
and then when after that I sat down, every movement also being like break. There's no smooth flow.
That's how you perceive it. Huh?
It could be.
Never mind. Those things are peculiar to only you because you are using your thought. Then you try to develop a type of understanding that you think is happening. You remember what did I tell you? When you meditate, when you do all this mindfulness training, what did I tell you?
Beg your pardon?
What did I tell you or my advice when you are doing all this? Don't try to know. Don't even try to know. Don't even try to labor.
Just be aware. I just be aware of the movement, that's all.
Okay, you use the word just be aware, but words sometimes are a bit confusing because to you aware is like you can also know
just
to be aware.
Knowing the movement.
I know, the knowing can also be a word or a concept because you use thought to be aware. So what is important is you just walk, naturally walk. Don't try to develop a type of a way of walking that you make it into a pattern, like you try to be following some instruction or following some meditative instruction that people give to you. Then like you say, as you turn, you can feel like it's staggered. You forget about all those things. When you walk, you just walk.
It comes naturally. I didn't.
It's not natural. If it's natural, it wouldn't be jiggy like that. Natural means it's a flow. When I walk, I go for a walk. It's naturally walking. There will not be staggered. Like I said, like that, like that. No need. Just walk.
And you walk to the end. I have to turn my body.
Correct.
I turn my body to come move back.
You can turn in a very ordinary way.
I walk naturally.
No, you are not walking naturally. You are trying to follow what they tell you. Turning. Then you walk again. What we normally do is I show you. You are doing walking meditation. You just relax, silent, and be natural. Just be natural. Walk. Like the Buddha said, body and mind as one. When you walk, aware. Aware means attention with your body. Body and mind as one. Then you walk. Don't try to know. Then when you reach here, you just turn. Then you walk again. But what you are doing is when you reach here, you are doing what they tell you. Turning. Then you turn until here, then only you walk again. This is like discipline type of walking. You are trying to follow a instruction, like the army. Yeah? Left, right. So rigid, not natural. Natural means in the midst of life, you walk naturally. You just have to be attentive, aware. The moment you are attentive, there is no word, nothing, no thought. Means body and mind as one. That's why I say when you do all this, don't try to know. Don't try to describe anything. Just walk. Walk until when the mind and the body is one. Even the breathing become part of it. Breath, body, and walk, and mind as one. Especially if you go for morning walk. Those who do morning walk, they know. You will walk at a pace where you will know that is the optimum pace. You walk until you don't feel tired. And you like to walk that way because it's so graceful, so natural. So that is natural walking, like you are skillful already. Everything just. But initially, when you are not used to it, like your movement is not coordinated, is it not? Your mind is somewhere, the body is somewhere, like not coordinated. So it's not graceful, not naturally, it's not a flow. So walking meditation, the most important thing is maintain silence. Then through that silence, observe how your mind creates thought, how through perception you see things, and how you think, and how it makes you heedless. And you're supposed to see all this. Don't try to describe, just silent. Through that silence, you will see a lot of things. But you are not silent, you are verbalizing and trying to use the thought to be aware. You cannot develop mindfulness, because mindfulness is supposed to be silent. No need to know anything. Even the movement and all those things, there is no word like staggering and all things. It's a smooth flow. Understand? It's just a smooth flow. Even you turn, you bend, you stretch. It's just like morning exercise. When you are mindful, what happens? The mind and this movement is one. Understand? Then come down again. When you are with this, you are aware of this action. Understand not? Then you no need to aware of anything else. Understand not? Walking also say, when you are walking, you just walk. That's why the Buddha says, standing, aware. Walking, aware. Don't try to, like, standing, not standing. Walking, not walking. Intending to walk. Forget about all those things. Just walk. So that you don't verbalize so much. So that you don't create word and concept while you walk or while you bow. You just do. I already explained many times. You listen again. You just walk until the mindfulness set in. Body and mind as one. The form and mind will understand one. When you are already mindful, it all of a sudden understood one. Because it's very clear one. Like swimming. Suddenly you know how to swim. You no need people to explain to you what swimming is already. Understand not? But when you haven't done it, haven't developed it, you will have a lot of questions. Then you will like to report and say, I do this. What you want to understand is right or wrong. Forget about right or wrong. When you already done it correctly, you will know. But it's good to ask so that I can explain and point out to you. What you are doing is, you are doing your, what they call, traditional walking. You must have learned it somewhere.
I started quite some time.
This you must have learned from other...
Masi's method.
Correct.
Then I switched to Anapana.
Correct. All these methods and techniques are okay. No problem at all. You must understand, what are techniques, what are methods. Technique and method, you listen, never define the meditation. Understand? You say Mahasi method, okay? Let's discuss it with an open mind. What is that so-called Mahasi method? It's a series of instructions telling you what to do. Correct?
Correct.
Ask you to note the rising and falling of the abdomen. So these are all words. I ask you another question. All this instruction to note rising and falling of the abdomen, which is the method, has it got anything to do with Noble Eightfold Path?
It's just, I don't know. But it just follow, no?
Listen, slowly. I'm not trying to like create right or wrong. Forget about it. We investigate into what you are doing, okay? What I want you to understand is this method, even Mahasi method or Vish method, Pa'au method or any of this monk's method, if you go and interpret what I teach, you will call it Brother Teo's method. Then you get into trouble again. Understand? It's not the method. It's how you understand meditation. When you understand meditation, all method and technique are skillful means to train the mind to be mindful. Nothing to do with the meditation yet. Understand not? It's just the beginning. That's why he asks you to note. The word note is very confusing. You can note with a word, verbalize, which is what they are doing. Rising, falling, intending to walk. all these alphabets. Then later they tell you to drop the word. Remember? You shouldn't verbalize. If you know the end of the day, don't verbalize, then why you verbalize? Understand? Not? Because they cannot see thought-based meditation. They cannot understand that these are only series of instructions to train the mind, to develop sati, mindfulness. So the Buddha make it very clear under Satipatthana Sutta. The first foundation of mindfulness is what? Yeah? What is the first foundation? Kaya Nupassana. Mindfulness of the kaya, the form, the physical form. Your walking is one of your movement within a physical form. Your standing also one of them. Sitting, lying down, that's like four posture. Then the other one is anapanasati, is breathing. Anapanasati is, anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So you're supposed to be mindful of the in and out breath. But people go and translate it into noting, into concentrating. He said, concentrate at the nostril. The Buddha never say that. The Buddha say, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Long breath, aware. Short breath, aware. That's all. Just aware, to develop awareness. So the whole of the Satipatthana, four foundation of mindfulness, is about mindfulness, not about using thought to labor. Understand not? Understand not? So mindfulness means what? The Buddha just say, whatever posture you are in, you aware. That's why after you train your mind to be mindful, the first category of cultivation under Kaya Nupassana is Anapanasati. The Buddha teach Anapanasati because it is very neutral, the object. Everybody, most people with normal character will find it suitable. It's very neutral, understand not? So he teach Anapanasati because this is the easiest. So Anapanasati is not a technique or a method. It's an object of meditation that the Buddha gave, where he said this is very conducive for training the mind to be aware. Why? Because the breath is always in the moment. You agree or not? The breath is always in the moment. You agree or not?
Agree. Correct.
When your mind is aware of this, your mind is also in the present moment. Agree or not?
Yes.
When you are aware, you cannot think. Agree or not? That is what sati is all about. Don't go and think. Don't go and verbalize. Don't go and try to know anything. Just aware. And that training is to allow this object of meditation to center your mind. So that it's anchored to this breathing. That's why the Buddha said when the mind becomes heedless, if it wanders off, what do you do? Initially, it will wander off because you are so heedless. You can't even stay there because you are hardly mindful, you are hardly aware. So split second, this mind is gone. That's why you can't even follow this breath for even a few seconds. That's why they resort to skillful means. They say count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, until the end, 10. Then 1, 2, 3. All these are skillful means, but this involves verbalization. Why must they verbalize? It's because the hindrances are there, are so powerful. They are so heedless. So they cannot stop the mind from thinking. They cannot stop the mind from wandering off. Because this mind has become so habitual. The hindrances are too powerful. And they don't understand that meditation is to only cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty. Then it will take care of the hindrance. Then why did all meditation teacher just go and ask you to meditate using an object of meditation, either a technique or a method? Yeah, this is the skillful means to train the mind. That's why sometimes they use the mind sweeping method, and there are reasons for it. I already explained in the Thursday class and one of the book, 12 September 2013. Because mind sweeping method is a very good way of deconditioning your heedless thinking. Mind sweeping method is you relax body and mind, then you close your eyes, then you feel, you don't think anymore. You feel the forehead. Then you relax all the tension, the tightness and the stress within. Just like the instruction last night. Then after that, you move it down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel, relax. Facial muscle, feel, relax. Then you combine with metta to develop inner well-being.
The mind sleeping method can make you more peaceful and more calm because you don't think anymore. You feel, you relax. You feel, you relax. If you do this long enough, it will be a new conditioning. It will make your mind just feel, then relax. Feel, then relax. No more thinking. If you do this mind sweeping method after one or two rounds, you find that you are more calm, more peaceful. It deconditions the heedless thinking. And then after that, only you can train your mind. That's like after that, I ask you to go to Anapanasati to anchor your mind. Then you relax and silent and just be aware in front of your nostril. I never ask you to focus. I say just aware. Aware means what? This breathing, they will breathe in and breathe out naturally. Don't try to force the breathing. Don't try to, like people tell you, breathe long breath. Forget about it. Just breathe in, breathe out normally. Then when you are aware, means what? The mind that is aware can detect the breathing, understand not? It's just like when you are aware of your forehead, where you put your attention here, understand not? You feel, no thought. That's why this feeling is very near to sati, awareness. You just feel. It's one of the aggregate. But you just feel before the like and dislike, before you discriminate. That's why when you detect like tension and all those things, then you relax it. Relax means allow it to be relaxed. Means you don't want to go and think further and stress it out on yourself. Because all of the tension and tightness and the stress within is from your heedless thinking. Delusion and all those things. Otherwise, there is no tightness, no tension, no stress within. All the stress comes from your daily life. When you are subject to pressure in the work environment, when you have problem in life, when your relationship got problem, when you got financial problem, health problem, or any of this career-related problem. And then you have worry, fear, anxiety, stress. Then all these hindrance, they accumulate. They actually build up in the memory. That's why you have a lot of hindrance. Your mind becomes restless. You worry about this, you worry about that, then you are never aware, you never. And this has become habitual. Until when you try to sit and meditate, all these thoughts keep on coming out. That's why you find you cannot concentrate. You cannot. So what they do is they go and control the thought. They control the mind. They suppress, they focus. They don't allow the thought to move. That's why they go into energy field. Concentration, jhana, everything. And then they become peaceful. But meditation is not about peace. Meditation is about naturally relaxing the mind so that in normal state of awareness, you understand how your mundane mind come to be, how it stir because of delusion, how it condition you into negativity through your own ignorance and delusion. So it's just to allow you to understand. And what you need is sati, mindfulness. Without sati, you cannot start. So now that you know all these objects of meditation or technique, they are only skillful means to train your mind to be aware, then you develop understanding. Then you meditate with understanding. Understand not? So no matter what method and technique they give you, you don't worry. You know that this is just to train the mind to be aware. So don't be gullible. Don't go and think every time the Mahasi technique. If you don't observe the rising and falling, or note the rising and falling, you are not doing vipassana. And that is not the appropriate understanding. But this is just to train the mind to be aware. It's part of the kaya. That's why it can be done. Nothing wrong with that technique. But you must understand with the hindrance so powerful, you can try, but it's going to be very difficult. That's why you must develop faith, sadha, virya. And then after that, you train your mind to develop sati. Without sadha and virya, sati is very difficult to come by because the hindrances are very powerful. At least with sadha, the restlessness can actually be overcome temporarily, not through wisdom, but because you have faith, you got no more problem. You have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, so you just have faith. So your mind become very calm, very composed. Then it will be able to settle down. Understand? Then because you start to understand who the Buddha is and how wise he is and how beautiful his teaching is, then that virya, the energy, allow you to determine the spiritual zeal and tenacity to train your mind to be aware. That's why you won't be sleepy because you see the importance of it. Then you will just train, follow the instruction of the Buddha. Any object of meditation or technique is to train the mind to be mindful. And that is just the beginning of meditation. But the moment you train until this one is already mindful, stable, then don't do it anymore. Understand? Like the swimming. What is the float there for? To help you to float. Understand? So that you can swim. But the moment you know how to swim, you somehow hold the float for what? Understand? The technique and the method is like a skillful mean, something to help you to meditate or to float, to swim. So this float, as long as you hold on to it, you don't know how to swim. So meditation is the same. As long as you hold on to the method and the technique, you don't know how to meditate. I tell you. Because you don't know what true sati is. That's why you read the Six Patriarch Sutta, how Hui Ning became enlightened. He just heard one verse in the Diamond Sutta. The mind must have no dwelling. Means the mind must not dwell anywhere. If we dwell in any method and technique, it's a dwelling. And that mind is not a free mind. That's why the mind must be naturally just aware without the aid of any technique or method. That's why I say you train your mind until this sati finally become very subtle. Anapanasati, until like hardly any breathing. Then after that, don't go and do sitting and touching. After that, you just silence your mind. Well, that is the meditative mind. That is positive. That is the silence. You have to continue to be silent. Then only that mindfulness can become more refined. The higher mindfulness must come in. Otherwise, you cannot detect the subtle breathing anymore. Even the rising of the abdomen. Later on, it becomes so subtle, you cannot detect anymore. Because what they teach you to train is the gross type of sati. Labeling, thought base, and all those things. The real sati, if you want to make it more refined and more sensitive, you need to completely silence that mind until no thought. Completely no thought. And that is the real sati. So when you already reach the point when the mind is already in sati, technically you don't need any more object of meditation to meditate. That's why you just silent, relax, and aware. Then you will understand everything. Then wherever you locate your mind, you will feel the vibration. Even the heartbeat, you don't need to be near it. You don't need even to go and notice. You're just silent and feel. The moment you feel, that mindfulness will detect. You can be with it. Then when you're silent, you can be with the whole of nature, oneness. That's why your senses are very active and very clear, provided you are silent. You remember when you're attentive, silent, all your six senses very clear. Then any consciousness that arises upon contact, you can be aware. Understand? Because the mind is the common denominator. Understand? So this is to allow you to understand that all this method and technique is to train yourself to be aware. It's just the beginning of developing sati. Then you have to stabilize it. Then after that, you have to develop the understanding that ultimately, this sati must stand alone. You cannot hold on to anything. All the object, method, and technique you have to relinquish. It's just like the Buddha said, you have to cross the ocean of samsara, okay? What do you use to cross? Either a boat or a ship or a raft, understand? Can follow, huh? Then when you cross already, you somehow so stupid, go and carry the raft along. Understand? You cross already, you don't need the raft already, understand? And then you just walk to the other shore, understand? It's like when your sati is already part of you, the mind is already in sati, why are you still training and doing those things like what they tell you? Oh, this is vipassana. If I don't do, I'm not doing vipassana. Ah, that means you don't understand. You are being gullible.
I have stopped.
No need to stop. No need to stop. Develop understanding only. Because we are not...
Maybe I don't understand.
We are not talking about right and wrong, please. Right and wrong
because
lead to misunderstanding.
Anapana, so
no, even you shift or you don't shift, it's the same. No. Because method and technique, like I explained, is just one of the skillful means to meditate, to train the mind, to be mindful. That's why I never fix any object. You can come and do with whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with. So don't get me wrong. I'm not against any method or technique. Method and technique are just skillful means. I only want you to understand what you are doing. If you do without understanding, then your question and your reporting all, you are very typical. You are not the first one. I have heard many that came and report to me. Even cultivator, meditator who has been to retreat for 20, 30 years, they still tell me the same thing. Because they never investigate and find out what did the Buddha really teach and what is the actual cultivation, the essential Dhamma, and what in the name of meditation are you doing, especially the four foundations of mindfulness. You familiar with Kaya Nupasana, the first foundation of mindfulness? You familiar or not? What is the first category of cultivation? Kaya Nupasana, first category is that. Kayanu. First category is Anapanasati, correct or not? The Buddha teach. After that, what did the Buddha ask you to do? After you have trained your mind and when you develop sati already, what did the Buddha ask you to do? The second, next category of cultivation. Mindfulness or what? Let her answer. You cannot remember, we help you. You're supposed to be mindful of the four posture, remember? Can you remember or not? Then after you do the four posture, what you're supposed to do? The third category. The third stage of cultivation. That's why a lot of these things, if you don't develop understanding, you will never understand. And you just do because people tell you to do. You just follow instruction and so on. So now, I explain to you. The third one is, the Buddha said, cultivate sati sampajana. What is this one? What is this sati sampajana? The extra word is what? Sampajana is clear comprehension. Comprehension. You're not only mindful, you must have clear comprehension. And there are four types of clear comprehension. They are all in the Heart Sutta notes. First one is clear comprehension of sincerity of practice. You understand that? Means you are very sincere in this practice, in this cultivation. Sincere means what? Not deceitful, not deluded. Very, very straightforward, sincere. So sincerity of purpose is very important. If you develop this meditation because you want to have psychic power, you want to have ego, and become like somebody famous or what, then there is no sincerity in your cultivation. Because this training the Buddha teach is to develop wisdom, nothing else. That's why sincerity of purpose is very important. You must be very clear about what you want. If you want energy, if you qigong or health or what, then you go and do those type of meditation. Understand that? Then if you want jhana, psychic and all those things, you go and do that type of meditation. But to the Buddha, the sincerity of purpose is just to develop mindfulness, to understand who you are, what you are, and develop the wisdom to liberate your mind. So sincerity of purpose is number one. Then the second clear comprehension is what? Second one is what? Domain of meditation. This one, why is it important? Sincerity of purpose. Domain of meditation is important because a lot of people are deluded. They always give excuse. He said, Brother, I need to work. I got no time. I cannot meditate because I got a lot of what they call duty. I got a lot of burden, dependent. And I'm very busy. So what is your understanding? You think meditation must come full-time retreat. Formal meditation. That is not meditation. The real meditation is in life itself. So the Buddha said the domain of meditation is Meditation can be done, listen, anywhere, any place, any time, in any circumstances. That is the domain of meditation. Because meditation is life itself. Sati sampajana is daily mindfulness, life itself. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all the action and movement that connect the four postures. That's why the Buddha said, standing, aware, looking forward, aware, bending, turning, stretching, aware, putting on the shoulder cloth, or the rope, the three piece and all things, aware. Answering nature's call, aware. Everything you must be aware, understand? So that is daily life. That is what mindfulness meditation is all about. If this one also you cannot understand, then you can never understand the domain of meditation. Then you become gullible. You thought every day you must sit, not rising, falling, not anapanasati. Without knowing that this is just a skillful means to train the mind to be aware, and you are just starting. Not until you have trained the mind to be aware, you haven't really started the real meditation. After it's aware, it has to be stabilized so that you can carry this mind state of sati or awareness into your daily life to do sati sampajana, to develop the initial wisdom before you can go on to the other cultivation. Yeah. Understand? So, this is the second clear comprehension. Third one is what? You must have the understanding of clear comprehension of suitability. Suitability means what? You must understand clearly at any one time when you are doing this cultivation, the most important time is now. Don't go and procrastinate. Don't go and be foolish like other people say, I think, Brother Teo, I retire, I go full time, I meditate. How sure are you that you can live until you retire? So now, that's why you are actually been deceiving yourself. So now, when I got no more burden, I go full time. Means what? You never understood the domain of meditation, because while you are working, you can still meditate. While you are having all these problems, you can still meditate. Then the suitability means the most important time is now. Do not be foolish. Do not wait. Do not procrastinate. That's why determined to cultivate. But this is more important than any other thing. Otherwise, your life is continuously going to be afflicted. Heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless I see dead. Do you want to continue to be like that? That's why strive on with heedfulness. Determined to be heedful early. Understand that? So this is a very important understanding. So when you have this understanding, you will become different. Then the most important, apart from time, is what? The place and the time. Place is here and the now. Time is now. Okay? Suitability of what? The next one. The people. The people whom you can benefit and learn from. Understand not? Just like now, you are all the people that I can do something about. Understand not? I don't go and develop mindfulness and clear comprehension and go and think. Understand not? If I'm in PJ, it will be very good. This type of Dhamma talk, Nanda retreat condition, very different. They will benefit. If I think like that, I've been foolish. But the reality is here and now, only these people and those up there. So those that are not within this locality, they are not in the position to understand all this. So clear comprehension of suitability of time, place, and location and people. Very important. Then the last one is what? Clear comprehension of what? Non-delusion. Non-delusion means you are not deluded. Deluded by what? The 10 defilements of insight. Well, these 10 defilements of insight are very good state of mind. They are actually sign of progress. But if you attach to them, it becomes a defilement to become enlightened. That's why it's called defilement of insight. When you meditate until like you are throughout the day very mindful, that is a defilement of insight. Then when you enjoy the piti and the sukha, that is also a defilement of insight. Then when you see light, you see nimitta, you attach, that is also a defilement of insight. But meditation is not about just that. This comes as a byproduct. Then you attach to a lot of other things which the Buddha described under the 10 defilement of insight. You will be deluded by it. So clear comprehension of non-delusion is very important. So that you are not gullible. You don't debate. You don't become like deluded by other people. People who don't really understand and they tell you certain things. Then you blindly believe. You become gullible. So clear comprehension is very important. So that it will protect you. It will keep you in check from debating. Okay? Then after sati sampajana, this is actually the beginning of real meditation, daily mindfulness. That's why it has to be done until very stable. Yeah. Then next one, after that, only the Buddha said you can contemplate the four elements. Remember? Four elements. But without this initial wisdom, you cannot. You go and reflect and contemplate on the four elements, it becomes knowledge. But once you insight into it already, you got certain initial wisdom already, the characteristic of nature you understand already, then these four elements become easier to understand, clearer. When you start to see the condition arising state, dependent origination and all those things. Then the fifth one is 32 parts. This 32 part, a lot of people don't quite understand what the Buddha meant. Yeah. Of course, some they use it to contemplate on the loathsomeness of this body. Yeah? A lot of these parts are very loathsome, so that to do away with lust and all those things. Yeah. But the main reason why the Buddha teach this is because he said, your form, physical body, they are only element, no knowing, cannot be you. So you have to use your wisdom, mindfulness, to see clearly what is this form, physical form and external form all about. They are all arising from the four elements, nothing else, no knowing, can never be you, so don't be deluded. Then the 32 part is, when all these parts come together, like the bulokka analogy, remember? Then it performs a function. Then this one becomes human being. The bulokka, when you put all the parts together, it becomes a bulokka. So the bulokka externally already not real because it's condition arising. Can follow or not? When the parts come together, then it performs a function, you give it a name that exists, arise already, real. Can follow or not? So condition arising means it was never real. When the condition come together, you put the parts together, then it becomes real. It performs a function, you give it a name, bulokka, then exists. You take the part away, it's dispersed, gone. So he wants you to understand this physical body is the same. Through karmic, the 32 parts come together after you are, after you conceive, you remember? Balaji, your whatever Balaji teacher or the doctor will tell you. Slowly from the sperm and the ovum, the two cells, they start to subdivide. Then after don't know how many weeks, only they start to form the senses. Then only the organs slowly come in. Then this part come together. And then later on you are born. The baby is born. So initially it's just a very minute embryo. But law of karma, the consciousness went in already, the supportive karma. That's why they can detect heartbeat in the baby embryo. Yeah. There are two heartbeats, the mother and the embryo. So all this is part of nature. So when you start to understand, then you know, when these 32 parts come together and it perform a function, then it rise, become a human being. Then you exist. But when this part disperse, that's why when the spinal cord get into trouble or the brain damage, then the organ cannot perform its function. Then this part will disperse. Then sometimes you become paralyzed. Sometimes you get stroke. So then sometimes heart attack, you're just gone. So this is what this physical human being is all about. So this is what the Buddha wants you to do. But without sati sampajana, the initial wisdom, if you contemplate, you cannot understand. If you develop mindfulness on it also, you cannot understand. So that's why it's all connected. Then the sixth one is what? 9 stages of? Yeah? Channa glow is correct. But when the body, physical body, somebody died, the 9 stages of decomposition, how this body decay. The Buddha wants you to develop wisdom. Yeah, when you see how this physical form, initially, when it's eliminated into a human being, you can become deluded by it, understand? Yeah, the form can be so enticing, especially when it's in the youth, young that time. You can see beauty. You can see what they call handsomeness and all those things. Then what happens when the consciousness leaves the form? It goes the way of nature. Then you start to see how it decays, how the 4 elements disperse. Understand? First is the wind element, the breathing stop. Then after that, if they don't cremate you, they bury you, what happens? The water element will flow out. Understand? So when the heat element, when the wind element go, the heat element will slowly go. Then after that, the corpse, you go and touch. Is it warm? It's cold. No more 98.4 degrees Celsius. It's cold. That's why you go into the mortuary. You touch. Cold. Why? Because the heat element also gone. Then the water element gone. Then finally, earth element also gone. From nature it come, to nature it return. So this is how the Buddha wants you to develop the initial wisdom born of the first foundation, Kaya Nupassana. And then after that only you can go into Vedana Nupassana to see how you're feeling. Pleasant, unpleasant and neutral feeling, how they arise. And the Buddha said when pleasant feeling is has arisen, you're supposed to be mindful, aware. Unpleasant feeling has arisen, you're supposed to be mindful, aware. Why did he ask you to be aware? You got nothing else to do. Why? What is pleasant feeling? What is unpleasant feeling? You'll find hindrance. What are they? Sensual desire, you will have pleasant feeling is sensual desire. That's why it allows you to understand that sensual desire is the evil root of greed and is also part of the hindrance. Means when they already arisen, you must be aware, understand not? But human being very gullible, all those who go and meditate on, especially just how you quote on that tradition. They meditate, then they ask them to note pain, pain, pain. When you do that, what are you doing? You verbalize it, isn't it? To do what? Hoping for the pain to go away, isn't it? Because he say you not long enough, you'll go away. But you never ask yourself, no. I know it's true, because if you not anything long enough, also it go away. Because impermanent, understand that? Anicca, it's not going to be painful forever. When your breath stops, also it go away. It will definitely go away. You know how to relax into it, then you come out, you go away. But the gullible thing is, what are they doing? They are labeling that feeling which is just ordinary feeling before craving. They label as pain. Pain is what? You don't like the feeling, is that unpleasant feeling, is that? Correct or not? What is that? The second mental hindrance, isn't it? I ask you one question. How can you be so gullible and creating your own hindrance in the meditation? The moment you note pain, aversion, is a hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. Now you can understand or not? You're not supposed to know. The Buddha says just aware. Aware means what? Feeling is just pure feeling. But if there is no delusion, no wrong view, it will not become craving. Understand or not? That's why in the Sabba Asabha Sutta, it says you need to endure certain type of feeling, which is part of nature. Sometimes too cold, you not enough warm clothing, what are you going to do? You can complain and become miserable. That is your first choice. Second choice, accept that reality. Try to look for Joyce. She got $20 one for sale. That is a more appropriate solution. You go and complain. Nobody tell me. Here temperature is so cold. What is the organizer doing? What are you trying to do? You get angry, emotional, and you want to hit out at people. And that is how your mind works very fast. Because the ego don't want to be wrong. You want to blame. The reality is you are already here. And either you forgot or people didn't remind you. But that is beside the point. The reality is, what am I going to do to resolve this amicably so that I don't create wrong speech? Understand not? Wrong action and wrong thought. And this is dhamma. Understand not? But you all never inquire when you meditate. You just gullible following something. Because this monk very famous, supposed to be one and one and one. And that fate. Then you continue and do. But you never inquire, you never investigate, you never find out. So that's why you are creating hindrance. And when you create hindrance, how can you break free? How can your mind go back to the meditative state? You have to feel and be with the feeling. Don't allow it to move. Do not suppress. Just feel. Feeling is just feeling. But that craving, because of your conditioning, where you don't like that sensation, the moment you recall pain, the aversion towards it, is a craving, understand not? Negative craving, you want to push it away. And this mind that have this is restless, understand not? Not peaceful, understand not? But if you understand the five daily contemplation, what did the Buddha say? This body of mine is of the nature to be sick, understand not? To have all this painful feeling and uncomfortable feeling. So what must you do? You must accept this reality before you have any medication or something that can help you. You have to endure it, understand, as per Sabba Asabha Sutta. So if you understand that this body of yours is of the nature to be like that, so you got no other choice. Like I said, you always got two choices. First choice to react, become miserable, and be afflicted, and suffer. That is attachment, craving. Where you want things your way, you cannot get it. The other way is to accept this reality. This is the form. It is like that. Then I need to endure, I endure. When I endure, what happens? You become very peaceful, very calm. Next time you don't believe, when there is this so-called pain or what, don't label it. Just tell yourself, body is just a body, not me. I just need to endure. And then you stay with it, silent. It will keep on stirring your mind to get angry, to react and ask you to do something. You tell the thought, no more. Now, I develop understanding. I just want to meditate, train my mind to be aware. So I want to be with the feeling. When you are with the feeling, even itchiness or pain or numbness or whatever, if you are relaxed, all of a sudden, shift of consciousness, it will be gone. Because when there is no aversion, no mental hindrance, what happens? The mind will be at peace. Understand not? If it's just aware without thought, the fine spiritual faculty will come in. Understand not? When you are just aware without thought, means what? No hindrance. No thought to label it either way. Understand not? Because there is no more fear, no more movement of thought. So when you stay with it, that silent sati will develop samadhi. Samadhi will make it unwavering, collected. Understand? Then when you stay with it long enough, the body relax by itself and the so-called block chi will go, flow. Where you don't resist it anymore. And then all of a sudden, like shift in consciousness, the whole of that phenomenon no more. Understand? You try it. Well, I have gone through it. I just silent. Then it flashed. Then the mind brightness. Then all of a sudden, I was so amazed. That was 20 over years ago. The mind was so bright and clear. All of a sudden, the whole phenomenon, actually, it was very, very painful. But I recall what the Buddha actually did underneath the Bodhi tree the last day before his enlightenment, remember? Not until he became enlightened, even at the expense of his life, even when the vein and the blood all dry up, he will not arise from the seat. So when it reached a point of that sensation becomes so strong, because that was the first time I really confront, where my teacher told me a lot of wisdom, he said, body is just a body, mind is mind, mind never the body, body never the mind. We choose to take care of mind. He said. Yeah. Then when I meditate, when this so-called pain comes, then I say, hey, yeah, correct. Body is just a body, not me. So I can endure, like the Buddha said. The body will go the way of nature. So I endure, I relax, and I silence. Then no more hindrance. That's how it flashed through. Then, gone. And it can be done. Because when you don't labor, when you are at peace with it, the spiritual faculty will take over. But don't try to be a hero when you are not ready. I heard one Canadian monk. He said he want to see through pain. You know what happened? He collapsed and fainted in the hospital for 3 days, 4 nights. 4 days, 3 nights. Then after that, he recovered. He determined to do again. I say, wish you luck. If you are not ready, like I always say, meditation, you do with understanding. Means what? You are not here to torture yourself unnecessarily. Understand not? Torturing yourself means what? You go through all the pain and all those things without understanding. Then sometimes you become like so conditioned. You see everybody sit so quiet, you dare not move. You're actually torturing yourself inside there. And you become like so rigid. Then the worst is, the gas also you dare not let go. You hold, you paise, you scared the sound will disturb people. Why you make yourself so miserable? These are nature's way of releasing toxin and all things. If you want to be really courteous, then pay respect mindfully, come out and then move to the toilet or whatever. But if it has to come out, let it come out, understand? Well, these are natural things. People who laugh at you, your mind will understand. You mean you never fart? They let go more than you without you knowing it. Because when nobody around, they did it. So what is the difference? Non-humans still around, understand? But you cannot see. You think nobody around. Understand? You only comfort your mind. Understand? So, don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you to be rude. In front of monk also, you really... You don't try to do that. You can. You avoid. Because there are societies, norms and rules. We don't want to create misunderstanding. Then they will ask, this cultivator from where? Brother Theos grew up. Then you get yourself the trouble, you put me in the trouble. So, that's enough. Okay, here to 5:30, I got to end. So now you understand your question. The method and technique is not an issue. It's to train your mind to be aware and mindful. So understand that, then you know what to do. So you don't have to change method and technique. Method and technique are only initial skillful means to train your mind. It's all in the notes there. You read through. I don't know which chapter. I forgot already. But people always ask me this question. Okay. I think 5:30 is your dinner, isn't it? So those who are taking dinner, you can go. 5%. Those who are taking 8%, I leave it to you. You want to meditate, you can meditate. You want to go and clean up yourself, do whatever chores you want to, you can go and do it. It's your free time. But while you do all this, maintain mindfulness, be aware. Try to be more and more silent. When you are in training, it's best you can talk as little as you can. Use sign language. Because the more you talk, the more sankhara will come out. That's all. But after you have developed the understanding and the training already, then the Buddha got a word, beyond study. Means you are not under training already. You don't have to attend lecture already. And then that time you can laugh, you can create joke, and do all those things. Because you already have the understanding, the wisdom. But even with that, I also don't do that. Understand? Yeah, I want to set good example for you all to follow. But you don't go and, like, you don't see me sitting here, then you also go and ponteng and do your own thing. Don't do that, because when I was training, I was dead serious, and I did a lot of this sitting and walking. I remember that retreat when I told you I went through that cessation 28 years ago. I was doing walking meditation down the Tupa, the Spa Lohana, the Tu Wong, remember? I don't know whether you observe or not. There are nine here and nine there, the 18 Arahat on the wall picture. I used to walk there. Then I come back and sit. That time, the retreat was only 4 days, 3 nights, I think. Or 4 nights, 5 days. I forgot already. Then I didn't talk. Most of the time, I didn't talk. I just reflect, contemplate, then I walk. As I walk, the contemplative wisdom also comes. Yeah, as I walk, I'm already mindful. The mind is already creative. Then whatever it reflect and contemplate, whatever that I want to understand, it will arise. Yeah. And I saw my son doing that also at home. He doesn't know that this he inherit from the past. Yeah, whenever he got problem, you know or not, he will come down to the house, the hall there. He will walk up and walk down. But I can see him thinking. Yeah, he doesn't know how to use the creative mind. But he had it in his past. Later on, he will understand. Then the answer will come to him. That's why when you are relaxed and just silent and aware, then I always remind him not to have fear, not to have anxiety and all those things. Just confront everything. Then develop understanding. Then you just reflect and contemplate. How can you resolve this amicably? That's enough. Of course, end of the day, I have to tell him, you use Noble Eightfold Path, you will lead to the end of all suffering. But no need to hurry him, because he knows how to resolve his whatever work problem or relationship problem and all those things. So let him try. Then when the time comes, he will understand. Because they have their past. So all this you learn, you develop the understanding through your own cultivation. And everyone is different. You may have certain past quality that you have, and you can do it differently. You don't have to follow exactly like what other people do. No. That's why everyone is different. All of your karmic conditioning, karmic nature behind, it can never be the same, because we have evolved for eons and eons and eons of birth and death. Okay? Okay. We will pay respect to... You can rejoice first, then pay respect to... Buddha Dham. Ah, got an announcement from Suya. Sadhu. Let Suya make the announcement.
Some of us are going for dinner. Those of you on 8 precepts are not going for dinner. And this evening's dinner is sponsored by Sister Serena Wong. So since she's not joining with us, can we just rejoice together? Sadhu. The schedule for all the sponsors for the various meals are behind in that chart over there underneath the Buddha's image. Just double check that I got the names right and those type of things. And the other thing is, many of you have made donations towards this retreat, the temple, sponsors, printing of books and all various things. So those that is before the retreat, I printed out on a list, but the fonts are a bit small. It's on the left-hand side over there. And those of you that pass on the money when the retreat started, I don't have a computer, so I handwrite, so I hope you can read. Kindly check your names and all those things are correct. Please get back to me if it's wrong. Okay, so big sadhu and amoda to all of
you. We should rejoice with all the wholesomeness. Sadhu. then make use of this wholesomeness to make aspiration, to make really, really beautiful aspiration. It can help you. Okay.